Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected.
Okay, good one. Thank you, Pastor Nick. Hello, everyone. I'm not surprised that only a few of you really recognize me, and if you do, you're probably 65 and above, all right? For the younger generation, just Google it, okay? It'll be okay. I really thank the Lord for the privilege of an opportunity to bring the Word today, as much as I was also given the privilege and opportunity this morning. Before we go to the passage proper, I need to contextualize this because the passage today is actually talking about a miracle that happened on the Sabbath. So for us to appreciate the passage and the message, I have to remind you or even ask you without you answering, what is really the fundamental dynamics of observing the Sabbath? Most of you would probably say is to take a rest, go to church, do these things. So let's go to Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. This is the fundamental dynamic of the Sabbath. What is it? You don't work in order to remember. That's the main verb in observing the Sabbath in the Old Testament. And in principle, even until today, you shall remember what? That you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Lord, why remember? Why not anything else? Because just maybe the past 6 days you have forgotten. You've forgotten what? You've forgotten who God is. This Sabbath is actually enjoying and practicing this relationship we had with God because of the gospel. That's fundamentally what it is all about. But here is to remind us who He is. Why do we have to be reminded of who He is? Because just maybe in the past 6 days, we go through life in our world, in our work, and we encounter problems, and our problems become so big that God becomes small. Okay, so we are to be reminded so that we will have faith. So there are two fundamental characteristics of God that we should be reminded of. One is that by a mighty hand, meaning He is powerful. And He's unchanging. He's supernatural. He's divine. He's more than enough. He is capable. And with that, the word "and," that means it's not separated, He also has compassion. So that's a combination, actually, for salvation. Power and compassion. Capability and compassion. Because some people or some entities have compassion, but they don't have the capability. So hanggang salita lang. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to speak in another language. Forgive me. All right? And some have the capacity but do not have compassion. That would pertain to certain precedents that we have. All right? They have the capacity, they have the power, but they don't have the compassion. God is both. Now you'll understand why I had to prepare you about the Sabbath as we read the passage today. Join me now as we read John chapter 5, verses 1 to 17. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up the water, stepped in was made well, whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Sabbath on that day. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Pick up your pallet and walk?'" But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus was in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, "My Father is working until now. I myself am working." The Lord had blessing upon the reading of his word. Let's all sit down, please. Father God, thank you for this opportunity once again to bring your word to your people, especially in this place today, Lord. It is not by accident, it is by your mercy and grace, where we are all undeserving. I myself must, as a priority, Lord, I am undeserving, but it's only by your grace and mercy and by the blood of Jesus. Lord, let whatever will transpire now, the preaching of your word and the hearing of it and the imbibing of it, be by the power of the Spirit. So what they will hear, Lord God, may be written in their hearts and they will understand it and it will not be taken away. It will grow roots and it will bear what you're supposed to do. And you cannot what you're supposed to do. And you cannot get what is good for you. It's not available. Because for sure, this person, for 38 years, people were not already visiting him. No one was already helping him get into the pool. Okay, so he was basically becoming alone. He was denied options. All right? You may be in a particular adverse position and cannot get out of it. You are kept from doing what you can do. You're confined in your incapacities and hopelessness. There is something out there that's a solution to your problem, situation right now, but it just cannot get to you. All right? And they're not there anymore. You cannot change for the better. Your status quo is still really dire. There is a solution, but you cannot afford it, nor have access to it. So you remain in the same situation you are in for some time now. Some of you may remain in guilt, all right? Bitterness, hopelessness, unforgiveness. There is separation in your life. There's loneliness. No one cares and no one notices anymore. It's like you may be breathing and alive, but you're not really living. So today, this is now a reminder that you are not just reminded of who God is, but you may just experience it today. His power and his compassion. What do we mean by God's compassion, that he's compassionate? God, we have to differentiate now. There's such a word as sympathy. God also sympathizes with us, you know, and we sympathize with others, right? We also empathize. What is empathize? Understanding and entering into another's feelings. I feel what you're feeling, so I empathize with you. Having compassion is this: the humane quality of understanding the suffering of others and wanting to do something about it. Compassion isn't just words, "I love you." It is love in action. There is action. There is movement. Hindi lang feeling po. So as with the compassion of the Lord, it's described in the Bible. There are some verses here. Okay, that this definition is biblical. Look at Matthew 14, verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. They go together. When he feels compassion, he does something about it. Mark 1, verse 41. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. I may not have placed it there, but you're familiar with the return of the prodigal son. In verse 20, it says here, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The father wasn't just saying, I love you, son, and then he was just waiting. No. He ran towards the son, embraced him, and kissed him. So today, let's look at the factors and dimensions. What truly happens when the Lord shows compassion. And he's here today to show compassion. How? What are the dimensions? What is involved when the Lord God shows compassion? Number one, the Lord has full knowledge of your need. He knows completely what you're going through. Read with me the highlighted verses. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew. So when the Lord sees, he knows. He already knows that he had already been a long time in that condition. No one told Jesus Christ. I mean, if we were just faithful to the text, Jesus just knew. Saw him and knew in his heart. That's why he says, do you wish to get well? In John 5, verse 14, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore. So Jesus knew beforehand. There is no indication here what he was afflicted with. All we know is he had to lie down on a pallet. And Jesus Christ attributed it to what? Sin. Since you're going to be well, go and sin no more. So, hang on to this, huh? Jesus, this might become, we know that, Pastor. But how do you appreciate this wonderful truth? So Jesus sees and understands your struggle. Jesus sees the depth of your suffering. He knows. Jesus understands your true needs. John chapter 2, verse 24-25. Allow me to read it lang. But Jesus on his part was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. He sees and he knows. So then what, Pastor? What if he knows everything that I'm going through? In fact, he knows far more better than you. You may have your own conclusions. I know my body. I know my situation. We have blind spots. God is all-knowing and ever-present. So he knows something that you don't. And I think that you do. Now, the good thing about this is, number one, it just doesn't end there. So what if he knows everything that you're going through? He knows everything that you're going through, but then it is in the context of a relationship. What does that mean then? So this seeing and knowing what you're going through is not just an end in itself. Ay, alam ni Lord. Okay, now what? In other words, the Lord, knowing everything about it, he's going to do something about it. Why? He knows the problem. Diba, there's always a saying, part of the solution is knowing the problem. If you really know what's wrong, that's what doctors do, right? They give us lab tests. So they'll find out what's really wrong, get more information, so that they'll know what to do. Now, why will they do it? Because there's a doctor-patient relationship. Like, I know a lot of people's conditions, but I don't have any relationship with them. I will not do anything with them. Okay? So, identifiable concept. Because I saw and now know the condition of my wife, I can and will try to do something about it. All right? Matthew 14, verse 14 again. Look. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd. He felt compassion for them and healed their sick. It didn't stop like, you know, when he went ashore, he saw this large crowd. And he knows what they were going through. And then it stopped. Does it stop there? No. What's the relationship there? Well, fundamentally, he's the creator. We are his creation. He's Lord. We are his creation. Matthew 9:36. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, etc., etc. So the Lord sees everything. He knows everything. Physically, emotionally, your innermost being. All our blind spots. He sees that. Okay? So Jesus knew the true condition of this man, the cause of it, the state of his whole being. All right? Thus, as I mentioned earlier, that as the Lord knows our situation, our circumstance, our problem, he knows what needs to be done and how it is to be done. When you have that in mind, this is crucial now. So what, Pastor, if he knows? Then, shouldn't this be the fundamental motivation to pray and have faith? Don't you want to trust a doctor who knows everything that's wrong with you? And he happens to be a good doctor? The more I will talk to him, the more I will trust him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is better than any doctor. Can I repeat that? Shouldn't this be a fundamental motivation to pray and have faith? As children of God, we're children of God. All right? Our Father knows and sees us, understands us, and loves us. Thus, we can ask, we can seek, and we can knock. You know, I'm reminded, this was my illustration this morning, when my children were in their teenagers, sila, elementary, high school. I'm sure some of you have experienced this. Without saying anything, Sunday night, they're just approaching me in the room. I already know what they want and what they need. Your allowance, no, for the whole week. You can see it in their faces, you know. That's how a father is. And that's biblical. Matthew 6, verse 7 to 8. Read with me. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So you might as well ask him in faith. And when you're asking him in faith, it's aligned with his will. He answers you to your favor. Negative aspect of this. So you not knowing, you don't know it, or you forget that our Lord God knows completely what you need and are going through, makes your problem, you have to agree with me, this is your perception of God. He doesn't really, I forget that he knows everything. Your problem becomes bigger than him, and your faith will diminish. Yes? So take that to heart. He has full knowledge. Number two, the Lord has mercy and grace for our need. He's armed with that. In fact, he is full of that mercy and grace when he comes into the situation. Look at verse 6 to 9. No? When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been a long time in that condition. He said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" What a question. We'll tackle that. Why did he have to ask? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately, the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. You know what? He didn't even ask. He just expressed his situation. And what did the Lord do? Healed him. Just like that. So the Lord comes, he helps when no one else can. This is a review. You're already, it should be a memory definition what mercy and grace is. Mercy is what? Sparing us from what we deserve because of sin. Grace is giving us the good that we do not deserve, all by his will and decision, out of his compassion. So how? How did it come about? How will he do this today for each one of you? Armed with mercy and grace. Number one, Jesus purposely came to him. It was only this man that he approached. And you know, when the Lord does something, there is always perfect timing. Why not 37 years after 37 years? As long as it may be. Why not a 38th year? You know why he purposely comes to people who are like this? Look at Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near the mayabang, the well-to-do, those who don't need anything, those who are so happy. No. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He approached this man because this man was completely broken and humbled. You know, before you restore anything, you rebuild something. I gave the example this morning again. Let's just say, you know, there's a contractor that wants to rebuild this whole building. What's the first thing that he should do? Destroy everything. Put down everything. Crush down everything. Level it. And then you can start rebuilding. That's what the Lord does. The Lord has the propensity of coming in our darkest hour. Why? Because there is the propensity for us to be fully broken and humble. And humility, my friends, is a prelude to faith. And faith becomes the channel of grace. Proof? James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So what's a prelude to faith? Humility. And faith is a channel for grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And by the way, you need to remember this sometimes. Jesus is the one that is full of grace, not a woman. Okay? John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace. Full of grace and truth. Which comes first? The truth, you cannot interchange that. So when we encounter Christ, grace comes first, and with it, truth. Okay? That's why in our evangelism, whatever we do for the glory of God, we don't preach just just like that, cold turkey. That's what I've learned, you know, in the few years of ministry. You cannot cold turkey people. They need to experience the grace of God. That's what Jesus did with this man, which led to, I believe, his conversion, yes? So he came purposely, with a purpose, timing. Number two, Jesus asked him, do you wish to get well? What is this about now? So he approaches us, he comes to us. Jesus asked him, do you wish to get well? Why? Wasn't it obvious? The question was important. For these reasons, I just got this from a study Bible, okay? The third one is my perspective, my understanding of why Jesus asked him. The man had not asked Jesus for help, yes? And a beggar of that day could lose sometimes a profitable and easy income if he were cured. So he wanted to be a perpetual PWD. So he'll get all the discounts. Number two, or perhaps he simply lost the will to be healed. You know, okay, whatever. But I believe it's this. That's why Jesus asked him. He approached him, right? So that this man would look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Instead of waiting for the pool to be stirred and for someone, ang expectation niya is that this man would bring me and put it there. No, Jesus is saying, do you want to get well? Caught his attention. Yes, the man did not directly say yes, but rather expressed his expectation that Jesus, whom he did not know who he was, to help him enter the pool the traditional way. And yet Jesus, full of grace and truth, helped him his way, not the traditional way. So you know what this tells us? We have hope, mga kapatid. In our circumstance, even today, we come to terms with the fact that there might be nothing in this world anymore to make things possible that will be good for us. But as Christians, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is from above, we always have hope. Because this grace is not from the world. It is of God. That's why we can actually say, what is impossible can be made possible. Walang wala na. There's no solution. Everything is blocked. The circumstance, there's nothing in this world na that can help us. Do not lose hope. Especially on the Sabbath. From above. To help you. And lastly, I forgot to put it in the PowerPoint. With Jesus, His mercy and grace, He negates the consequences of our sins. That's the salvation part. That's the forgiveness part. When the Lord Jesus Christ shows compassion, that's a big part of it. Why? Jesus negated the consequence of his sins. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. So what do we have so far? When the Lord is showing compassion, he knows full knowledge of your need. And number two, he comes purposely in a particular time. Because just maybe, I would like to believe, all of you are in your darkest hour. That's why this message is being preached. Purposely about Jesus Christ. So that you will look at Him. You may have been looking around your circumstance. and your circumstance is becoming bigger than your God. Jesus says, look at me. You really want to get well? Look at me. Part of that is the forgiveness of your sins, which may be the cause and reason of your predicament. The third is what? The Lord has power over our need. Ito na. We're talking about grace, compassion, power. Right? That we are reminded of. The Lord has power over our need. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. All right? Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. In that instant, in this situation, immediately yun. Now I have to explain that further. Case-to-case basis, it might not be immediately for you today. But there's also that possibility, yeah? And how did he do it? This power? By his word. Let's not forget, folks. Mga bay, mga day, please translate na lang to our foreign members. The Lord's word has power, by the power of his word. And what is the word? His word is his will expressed. Do you agree? If there are any grammar teachers here, when we talk about the word, we talk about two dimensions of the word. The connotative part and the what? Wala na. Wala nang teacher. Denotative part. Here, his word is his will expressed. Pick up your pallet and walk. That's what God wants. That is his will for us expressed. All right? And this is the power of the word. It can create something out of nothing. So you may feel you're so nothing right now, like this person for 38 years, nothing. So empty, no more friends, no more social life. You're alone. You don't hear good things anymore. All right? He heard the word. Boom! Why? John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. This should be a memory verse na. Nagyayabang si pastor, short ang memory. I probably only memorized the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This will separate the men from the boys. What's the second verse? He was in the beginning with God. Hang on to that. All things. From the beginning until the end, all things, okay, came into being through him. I will preempt my point. All things. You know, like what? Medicine. Procedures. Regulations. Wisdom for counseling. To help us out in our needs. All of this, Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, is the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge. All. He created everything. This is now my point na sometimes it's not immediate. He can heal through your doctors. The wisdom of the doctors, the books, that's because of the living word. Jesus Christ. Do you know that if the Lord does not approve of the medicine, it will not work? It has to ask permission for it to work. Jesus Christ says in John chapter 10, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Look at the word, that you may have. The blessings have to ask permission. Lord, may I bless this person? Okay, go ahead. He's the distributor of blessings. He's Lord. He's sovereign on the Sabbath. So when Jesus Christ speaks, lives are changed. Don't forget that, brothers and sisters. Whenever you teach or preach or quote verses, keep quoting them. There's power in those words. That's what converted me. There's a verse, siyempre, I forgot na. Not only converted pala, made me a pastor. When I read in Joel, invite me na lang next time and I'll explain it, okay? The power of the word. So therefore, it includes all things made to bring healing, to bring solutions, medicines, procedures, regulations, structures, professionals, answers, provisions for the need are born out of wisdom from and because of the Lord, the living word, the power of his word, the wisdom of it that has created medicines, procedures, solutions, and then some. You may have forgotten. So it bespeaks of the sovereignty of the Lord. The fourth and last. What do we have so far? Full knowledge, mercy and grace, power to his word. And the Lord has a purpose for our need, with our need. John 5, verse 10 to 15. So I'll just read the highlighted verses. But he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" Verse 13. "But the man who was healed did not know who it was." 14. "Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him," so Jesus was looking for him, huh? After we experience miracles pala, or blessings, what's our tendency? Next time na lang akong mag-pray when I have a need. Jesus looked for the man, found him in the temple and said to him, excuse me, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you." Look at verse 15. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. That's one of the purposes why he was healed. It's a testimony to the Jews who did not believe in Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus tell him, excuse me, why did Jesus tell him to still bring the pallet with him? If he was already healed, why bring it back with him? Why not just leave it there and go around? Hey, you know why? His testimony will have more impact. Isn't it the guy who was lame, who was sick? Look, he's carrying his pallet. Oh. He's walking. It's a more powerful testimony. So Jesus calls us to walk in righteousness, as what he said to the man. And as witnesses, our testimony should point to Jesus. You know why, mga kapatid? Well, aside from the fact that spiritual transformation is a more powerful, is a more powerful testimony. Of course, no, I got healed. Pero you became a better person because you were healed. That's a more powerful testimony. So it's not just physical healing, but spiritual transformation. Listen to this now. Why? Why do you think the Lord allows us to experience this for this purpose, right? Our experiences of Christ's compassion should lead us, yes, to glorify Him and share His graciousness, His mercy with others. Why, mga kapatid? Because Jesus Christ, when we share about Jesus Christ bespeaks of being redemptive. That's the main thrust, the gospel again. Because the biggest problem for mankind is not the diseases, it's not the poverty, it's damnation. It's for salvation. That's the bigger problem. In fact, that's the biggest problem. So the Lord does this to us because He wants us to testify, point people to Him, because He is redemptive. He is Savior and Lord. Take for a minute. This person got healed, but he did not believe in Jesus Christ after. Useless. And here's the other reason. Well, to support that thought, though, for this bespeaks of him being redempted. Why? Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance, of his mercy and grace, bawa lang, and patience, not knowing that the kindness, the mercy, the compassion, the loving kindness, which is compassion, which is love in action, leads persons to what? Repentance. That's what we call irresistible, effectual grace. The reason why I decided July 4, 1986 or 87, I forget, tagal na eh. I decided to receive the Lord Jesus Christ that afternoon, together with my future wife. Okay? Because we were in a sinful situation. And I heard the gospel. And the gospel was full of grace and truth. That I still have a chance, even though this is sinful, etc., etc. God can transform our relationship. And eventually, maybe some of you know my testimony. She's now my wife. All right? Invite me na lang again. Another time. Yun, medyo showbiz chismis yun. Okay? So, it was because of the grace of the cross. I remember that afternoon, after a Bible study in Freddy Hubaldi's house. Anybody know Freddy Hubaldi here? Oh my goodness. Yun, you're old. Sorry. After that Bible study there, and we received the Lord, I went to Ultra. We had a game. I was playing for Tandaway there. And all of a sudden, as I was watching the game, I saw Jesus Christ on the cross, and then I realized, I'm forgiven. My wife, my future wife, and I will be forgiven, and we now have a chance to marry each other and become one flesh. The Lord God is a God of chances. All right? I saw the grace. Amula noon, wala na. This is the result, okay? So, anyways. Irresistible grace. We should all the more, hang on to this now, we should all the more bear witness to the redemptive love of Jesus, not just because it is grace, but because, mga kapatid, I ask permission this morning, can I shout this out? Can I? I don't care if you don't invite me anymore because sumisigaw siya. He's an angry preacher. You know why, mga kapatid? Because Jesus Christ is the only option for the world. Narrow is the way. Why should we keep it? There are no other options but Jesus Christ alone. That's why we should share it. Am I getting to you? There is no other option. He is the only way. Narrow is the road to eternal life. So our experiences of Christ's compassion should lead us to glorify Him and share His work with others. So when we share, there are basically two effects. One is people will have faith. So when we share the goodness of Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, there is salvation. To those who reject it, it's judgment. So which is better, not to share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, or to share it? To share it. And that's the main purpose why today you may experience the Lord sees you today. He knows your need more than you do. Okay? And it's not just because He has knowledge and that's the end of it. No. You are His children. So He's going to do something about it. And what He's going to do is perfect for you. So the Lord is asking you also, do you want to be helped? If you do, I'll give you time before I close in prayer for you to come to the Lord and pray. Would that be okay? So again, let's bow down our heads and pray. Because I cannot cover in prayer all your needs. It would be best that you be the one to present it and tell Jesus personally, I want your help. Because, mga kapatid, I can say this, He is here not just to heal one person, but for all of us. Father God, I would like to believe that the full spectrum of this message is upon your people here today. They've heard, Lord, that you know everything about their situation. And you have come, Lord, and had this message preached to convey to them your mercy and grace for them, Lord God, and your compassion, Lord, that you're going to do something about it. So, Father God, allow me to declare, therefore, upon everyone that they have responded in faith, Father God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and their prayers have been aligned with your will and your purposes. Let them be comforted with this wonderful truth as I raise my hand. Brothers and sisters, receive now the answers to your prayers because we have applied the message for us today. That is not just to be reminded of who our God is, but to experience Him even today. Let this day be the day of salvation, of healing, of provision, of deliverance, of comfort, of joy, all according to your needs and for His purposes. Lord, your people cannot give what they do not have. Let their testimony be more of impact, O God, to a world that still needs to understand and see your redemption. I give you back all the honor and glory for all of this, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.